We want to welcome you tonight to our Christmas praise service here in Toronto, Canada. If you're viewing our service from local, our congregation, members, friends, or maybe from another part of Canada or around the world, I want you to know you're very welcome and we're happy that you're here tonight. I want to share with our congregation, first of all, some important ministry things and items for prayer. Before we begin our service, we are mindful of the Johnson family tonight as we grieve the loss of our brother Lou and want to pray for our brother and remember the family this time, that the Lord would watch over them, be with Adrian and Tracy, Denise and Nancy. The funeral is scheduled for Monday the 28th. We don't yet have any further details of time and so on. We'll certainly keep you posted on that. Do remember to pray for the entire family. Also very happy that our sister Maud Bennett has been home from hospital from the knee surgery she had on Thursday and would appreciate very much your prayers. Also do remember Dr. Fernandez. He's been in the hospital for several days this week, had some complications, and do pray for our brother. It's possible he was discharged and is home again. Do remember our brother, please, before the Lord. And then for some ministry going on this incoming week, remember our prayer meeting and Bible study Wednesday night at 7:30 via Zoom. And then next Lord's Day, we will also be having our regular service, 11 o'clock in the morning, prayer in the afternoon, and then 6:30 in the evening. Also next Lord's Day in the afternoon, we'll be having a special monthly prayer time for our elders and deacons, and that will be at 4:50. And men, you already know about that. I want to take the opportunity of wishing to all the congregation and our regular viewers online a very blessed Christmas. This time of year, and as we come to, well, have a time of thanksgiving and praise, yet still there are many heavy hearts, many who are perhaps cast down, and no wonder at the reasons around us, and things are getting perhaps a little more difficult before they get better. Nonetheless, we know we are in the hands of our great God, and we rejoice in that, and we're thankful that He is the sovereign Lord who is ruling and reigning over all things. So we're very happy and rejoice in that tonight. Please remember our Christmas card appeal. This year, the funds that we will be collecting be going toward the Czech Republic Mission Fund, specifically their building program. And I know that Brother Schultz, his whole family, expressed their thanksgiving to the congregation for your faithful prayers. Let's not forget to remember those who are persecuted for Christ's sake around this world. And their Christmas is, again, much more difficult than ours would be. To hold them up before the Lord, to remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, this is the Lord's word, and to share and bear one another's burdens. I invite you to join with us in praise as we commence with number 88 in our hymnal, O Come All Ye Faithful. Let's sing to the Lord's praise. Thank you. There is no greater theme, no greater purpose that we have but to magnify our Lord God, to praise His name. Indeed, it's the chief end of man. We will glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Let's do so tonight as we once more have the opportunity, the privilege of lifting our hearts, our voices, our praise to Him. Join with me, please, in prayer tonight. Father, in the Savior's precious name tonight, we bow joyfully and yet humbly, Lord, realizing that we are nothing, and yet we have been given, lifted up, put on a solid rock, high ground we have been given, because we are found tonight in the Beloved. We're found in Christ. And Lord, that day we remember when we trusted in the Savior, and He was made real to us. And Lord, we were given the gift of faith and of confession of our sin. And we know today that it is well in our hearts. Yes, Lord, we have been down the road of doubting, of struggling with unbelief. And yet how thankful we are tonight, for the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. Lord, I ask this evening that our hearts would be filled with genuine thanksgiving. That from our hearts, Lord, amidst all the other things that are going on around us, still we have so much to praise for, so much to give thanks to the living God, and Lord, that we will never be in hell. We will never be cast off. Lord, we are held securely in the arms of our loving God, in the hand of our Father in heaven. Lord, we pray that when the devil comes to attack, that we will know ourselves strengthened with might in the inner man. Lord, that You would teach us what it means to die unto ourselves daily so that we can live unto Christ. Lord, please forgive us for our sin. We know we're very feeble creatures. We pray that we will know cleansing and forgiveness for all the ways in which we have grieved the Spirit of God. Help us, Lord, we pray, to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, filled with the wisdom of our God, given discernment, given a love, given the grace to follow hard every day. Now, Lord, as we think especially at this time of the year of the wonder of all that Jesus, our Savior, has done for us, coming to give Himself to be born in a humble place of Bethlehem, to live a life among sinful people, and to go to the cross of suffering and shame. Oh God, I pray that we would always remember and never forget, Lord, never be negligent about these so great matters. Lord, we are in the world. We have many responsibilities that are legitimate and right things. But I pray that we would always keep them in perspective to the greater picture of the wonder and glory of our God, and that we are going home to glory soon, to be with our God forever and ever. Until then, though, Lord, we pray that we'll be found faithful, that we will stick close by the Scripture, we will walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So be with us now tonight. Bless each one who will take part, those who will bring items of blessing on their instruments. We pray for encouragement and blessing for each one. So hear our prayers tonight. We ask these things now in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. What is the story of redemption? It's the story of a broken world that our God stepped in to rescue. We know, according to the Scripture in Genesis, that the Lord made our first parents sinless. They were perfect. They had an opportunity. They lived in a time, we could say, of probation, where they were in a perfect environment, created wholesome, whole, pure, right, walking with God every day in fellowship with the Lord. And yet, sin came in. And when sin came in, everything changed. And things came up in the world as a result of sin: thorns, thistles, weeds, viruses, disease, sickness, death. All these things came as a result of sin. But the most devastating effect of sin was death that happened to man. And Adam died. He died spiritually. He died in the beginning processes of physical death. But the sentence of eternal death came upon man. And yet, you know, friend, right from the very beginning, our Heavenly Father, our God of love and grace, He set in motion the plan that had been in place for all eternity. And that is the plan of redemption. The thread of redemption that runs through the entire Scripture. And yes, it's a story of love, a story of sovereign grace, a story that gives hope to the hopeless. And the Lord said unto the serpent, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The first messianic prophecy in Genesis 3:15. At the very start, when man had fallen, God spoke words of grace and comfort. Isaiah 7 and 14 tells us, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Oh, what a precious name that is. God with us. In Galatians 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Luke 1. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Yes, yes, friends, tonight the story of redemption is a full one. It is a great one. It is a one that spans all time into eternity. And tonight, if you know Christ, then you have received the benefit the gift of this so great salvation. Let us continue in our worship. O come, Emmanuel. Number 87. Well, at this time, we have the first of two duets that are going to be played for you. And the first one will be between mother and son, Dana McAnally and Sam. They will play piano and saxophone in bleak midwinter. I trust the Lord will bless this ministry and song to you. Well, thank you, Dana and Sam. That was lovely. Appreciate that ministry tonight. I'm going to ask you to turn, please, now in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. May the Lord bless His own precious and holy word. And though these are very familiar words to every believer, we have heard them, we have read them, we have pondered them many, many times. And yet the truth never wears out. and the power of this communication while it will last for all eternity. We pray that God would encourage your heart by them and bring you to an understanding of the full and real meaning that they have. At this time, we're going to have our second duet tonight. Mrs. McClellan will be playing on the organ, and Ruth Santos will be playing on her flute. May the Lord bless this ministry to you tonight. Well, thank you very much, Ruth and Mrs. McClellan. We appreciate, again, these instrumental pieces. Well, folks, we pray that the Lord will bless us as we look into the Word of God tonight. And the message that I want to share with you, well, it's a combined word tonight, and it will be for the boys and girls, as I mentioned to you this morning, and the first part of the message will be that, but I want you to pay attention very, very closely. Now, I think that most of you will know what a parable is. Now, the Lord Jesus used them very much in his teaching, and a parable is something that, well, it's a story, it is an earthly story, but it has a message for us from heaven. And I want to tell you the first part of my message tonight. Well, it's a little animal parable, and it has to do with a donkey. Yes, and the donkey's name, well, his name is Dothan. Now, I want you to pay very close attention, boys and girls, because Dothan learned a little bit later on that his life had meaning. It had a purpose. And at the start, it didn't seem very much like he was going to have that purpose fulfilled. Well, Dothan was very, very small. And he was not welcome in the farmyard with all the other donkeys that were around him. It made Dothan very sad, and those donkeys that were around him, well, here are four of them. And the first one said, "Look at that little donkey. His body is a bit bigger than his legs, and he's never going to grow up to be able to do anything in the farmyard for the farmer." Well, the next one looked, and he was a little bit more sympathetic maybe and said, "Look at the size of his ears. His ears are so big. His ears are bigger than the rest of his body. He looks deformed to me. I don't think he could be any use at all." And the third donkey, well, said, "I feel sorry for Dothan. Look at him. He's pathetic. He'll never make anything in his life." Now, the fourth one was a little bit more cross than that, a little bit more angry, and said, "Look at the pathetic little creature. I'd like to go over and give him a kick. He's no use at all." Well, those four, they made the little donkey very, very sad. And Dothan began to think that, "I guess I am no good. I guess I'll never make anything of myself in my life. I wonder what will ever become of me." Well, years went by, and Dothan began to grow up a little bit. He was still not that big, but he became a lot stronger. And he did little jobs around the farmyard, but still he was never as big as the other donkeys and never seemed to get a chance to do all the other jobs and tasks that they were doing. So he was still very sad. And then one day there was a man who came to the farmyard, to the farmer, and said, "Well, Mr. Farmer, I have a job to do, and I need a donkey, but I don't have very much money, and I'm not sure what you can offer me." Well, the farmer said, "Well, I have four lovely donkeys over here. They're very healthy and strong, and they're large." And he stated the amount of money he wanted for them. And the man who had come to the farmer said, "Sorry, sir, I can't afford that. Do you have anything cheaper?" And so the farmer stopped for a minute, scratched his head, and thought, "Well, I don't really have too much any cheaper than that. Maybe there's one. There's a donkey over here. He's not very big, but maybe he would be able to do the job for you." And so the man said, "How much?" And the farmer said, "Well, you could probably have him for this amount of money." And the man said, "I think I can afford that." And so he bought Dothan. And you know something? Dothan had grown up now a bit more, and he went to his new home, and he became very useful to that man in the place where he needed him, and he was very happy. Do you know why? Because Dothan had now realized, he found out he had fulfilled the purpose for why he had come. And you know, my friends, I want you to think about that now. Boys and girls, please continue to pay attention. Because that little parable, this little story, well, it will link up with the account that we just finished reading in the Bible, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Because many, many years ago, 2,000 years ago, there was a man, and he had a very important job to do. His name was Joseph. And the job that Joseph had to do, he was commanded to go back to the city of his birth. And you might wonder, well, why did he have to go back there? He was living in Nazareth, and he had to go all the way back to a place called Bethlehem. It was the city of David. The reason for that was because at that time, the entire region of Palestine or of Israel, it was under the control of a foreign government. The Roman government controlled everything. And so the Caesar, his name was Caesar Augustus, he had made a decree. It was a rule. And this rule or new law said that everyone in Palestine, they had to go back to the place of their birth in order that they could be registered, in order they could take a census. It just means that everyone has to be named and really numbered. And the purpose for it all was so that Caesar could raise taxes for his government. That was the purpose of it, really, ultimately. And so Joseph, he had a very important job that he had to do. He had to travel from his home, and he had to make the journey a long way. It was 140 kilometers. But there was a problem he had. Because his wife, Mary, she was expecting a baby. And she was not far away from giving birth to her firstborn child. Now, in Matthew's gospel, we're told also some other details that were not told here. And we're told about the story that went behind this journey that they were going to have to make, and what happened in Joseph's mind, what was going on, because he was espoused, he was engaged to this young woman called Mary, and indeed he loved her. And he saw in Mary a very virtuous woman. He saw in her a woman that he wanted to spend the rest of his life with. And the tradition at that time was that when a person got engaged to another one, a man to a woman to a man, it was something that was very, very strong. It was not so much like the engagement that we have today in our relationships, though they are strong as well, but this was much more than that, because when they were engaged, they traded vows back and forth, and they committed themselves to each other. Oh, but here was the thing. That espousal period, or that engagement period, they had not started living together yet. They had not come together as husband and wife. But it was still a marriage bond that Joseph had with Mary. And you could imagine then when Joseph found out that Mary was expecting a child. She was going to have a baby. But they had not come together yet as husband and wife. And Joseph was shocked when he realized what had happened to Mary, because he thought that she had been unfaithful to him. And they had never even come together yet. And so as Joseph was thinking, what can I do? How can I avoid the shame and dishonor that would even be brought to this woman that I love? Because if she was found guilty of adultery, then the judgment against her was very serious. In fact, sometimes it led to them being stoned to death. He did not want Mary to suffer all the public embarrassment of taking her to the public court and saying, "This woman has been sinful and unfaithful against me." And so as Joseph considered those things, God appeared to him in a dream. And God said to Joseph, "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because the child that she is carrying inside her now was brought by the Holy Spirit." And boys and girls and adults, as you're listening to this message tonight, I want you to understand that Joseph was a man of God because he listened to what God said. And the purpose that Joseph had for his life, it was a purpose that meant he was going to be a protector and a provider for Mary at this time in her life. And then many, many years afterward, after she had given birth to her first child. And so we come back to this account now where Joseph must begin a long journey. I told you it was 140 kilometers they had to travel. Now don't forget, Mary was near having a baby. There's no way that she could have walked that distance very easily. It would have taken them at least 5 days to make that distance, traveling about 20 miles a day. And so it's very, very likely that she would have sat upon an animal. It may have been a donkey. It may have been a camel. We don't actually know. But as they began their journey, heading toward the place called Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, that's where they had to go so that Joseph and Mary could sign their names on the registration form to pay their taxes to the government. And it was a long journey. As I told you, it took 5 days at least. And as they came on the final leg of their journey, the night was falling. And as they could see the village of Bethlehem in front of them, with their lights on and the houses and the places of where caravans would go, they called them an inn. It was spelled I-N-N, but it was really like a hotel or a motel, some place where travelers would be able to stay. And so as they came near, exhausted, I'm sure, from all the travel, and Mary feeling the weight of carrying the baby Jesus inside her. Well, what happened? Well, they came to an inn, a place where they would hope to get accommodation for the night to be able to stay. And as Joseph was talking to the innkeeper, he said, "Please, I need a place. We need a place to stay. My wife is very near having a child." And as he went on to explain, the innkeeper said, "I have no room. There's no rooms left." You see, what had happened at that time, there were many people that had come back to Bethlehem who were travelers who had to do the very same thing that Joseph had to do to pay their taxes. And all the places were full. There was no room left. And you could imagine Joseph saying, but sir, please help me. I need a place for my wife." And I'm sure the innkeeper felt bad too. And he said, "Well, sir, all I have, there's a place in the barn around behind the inn. And if you can find a place to stay there. And so they took that opportunity. And as they went into the barn that night, God allowed Mary to give birth to her firstborn son. At that time, in the vicinity in the hills just around Bethlehem, there were shepherds. And what were they doing? Well, we know that shepherds look after sheep. And so what they were doing, they were keeping their flocks. They were watching over them. And a shepherd had to watch their flocks in order to be sure that a wolf or a bear or some other wild animal would not come and steal the sheep away. And so they had to watch very, very carefully. But as they were out in the middle, as it was dark now, suddenly an angel appeared unto those shepherds. And when the angel appeared unto them, they were filled with fear. They were shocked. What is this? And the angel came and spoke to them and said, "There is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And as the angel communicated that message to these shepherds who were filled with fear, then all of a sudden there was a multitude of angels gathered around, and they also began to say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Oh, my dear friends, tonight, what a scene that would have been. And when the angel had finished giving the message about where this baby was going to be born and where he would be now, they would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. And where would he be? Would he be in the palace? Would he be in some opulent hotel? No. They would find him in a barn. They would find him in a cow's feeding trough, in a manger. And so as they made their way, the Spirit of God led them. And they came right to that place. And there they were. They were looking at the little baby that had been born. And they were overwhelmed and thanking God for the privilege that had been given to them to behold the great wonder of God's Christ, of the Son of God that had been promised for thousands of years before and many, many prophecies in the Old Testament. And now, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, to be born of a woman, made under the law. To do what? To redeem, to save poor sinners like you, like me tonight. And all, friend, as we consider the great wonder of God's salvation and what He had come to do, our Lord Jesus Christ, He came to this world for a purpose. He came to this world not for Himself, but He came, my dear friends, tonight to this world that He might bring glad tidings. And that word, glad tidings, that the angels communicated to the shepherds, that word is good news. Oh, maybe you know the other meaning of that word. It is the word gospel. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is good news to my heart. It's good news to a world that is crumbling all around us in sin and transgression, heading to a lost eternity. And the good news tonight, friend, for you and for me, is that the baby that was born in Bethlehem, the Christ of God, the Messiah, the one who had come to fulfill all the will of God in his life. And that will was to bring redemption and salvation to all mankind. Do you know that on the back of every donkey is a sign of a cross? Strange, isn't it? Why that humble little animal that carried the Lord Jesus on his final entrance into Jerusalem just before he was about to be crucified. Those little animals, yes, they have that strange marking on their back. A message, maybe, but the truth of it cannot be hidden, because that was the purpose that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, the purpose to bring life. But you know, in order for him to bring life to us, it meant death for him. It meant that he would go to the cross. It meant that he would go to a place of suffering and of shame and agony in order that you and I tonight can have life, and that we could have eternal life. Boys and girls tonight, adults, you're listening to the Word of God. I hope that everyone would receive the message of the good news, the message of the cross. There is salvation for you. What does a person have to do? Oh, friend, to confess your sins to the Lord, for we have all sinned and broken His law. To confess your sins to the Lord and to pray that He would forgive you. And that as Christ died on the cross and shed His blood to wash our sins away, that we might know the forgiveness of God and to receive that free gift of His salvation. This is the great message of Christmas. This is the reason why we are here, to praise and exalt the name of our great God tonight. We love Him. Yes, boys and girls, because God first loved us. And as Christ Jesus came to this world for a purpose of dying on the cross to bear our sins, He rose from the dead. He is alive today, and He's coming back to this world again to receive us unto Himself. Do you know what purpose you have in your life? Your purpose is to fulfill all the will of God, to do what He calls us to do. And if you say today, well, I'm not really sure what the Lord wants me to do, well, the place to start is this. Pray, Lord, please show me what You want me to do, how I can fulfill the purpose that You've given me in my life. Because in so doing, then we will be able to live happily, joyfully, at peace in our own hearts, to give the love of God to our neighbors and friends, and to share the message of hope in a world that is very far away from having hope. Can we do that tonight? Yes, we can. We can say, Lord, make use of us so that we will glorify the name of our God. May the Lord bless His Word to every heart tonight. And boys and girls, don't forget the little story about the donkey. But don't forget the far greater story. The story of salvation. The story of Jesus. His name is called Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. We're going to sing another carol at this time, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Join with me, please, as we sing. We come to every Christmas season. I think that families will automatically reflect upon loved ones that are no longer around. Christmas time usually is such an occasion where there are sweet memories and precious thoughts that we have. And certainly for my family, for our family, fond memories of our father, a dad we loved, who was an example of godliness and holiness in our lives. And my dad would often sing the Lord's Prayer at the end of the year. And tonight I've been asked to do that tonight, and I do so in memory of my dad, but more so to the honor and to the glory of the God that we love, of a Savior who has given His all for us, that we might honor Him in all that we say, in all that we do, in the opportunities He gives us to live for Him.
Our Father, which art in kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Friends, we've had a blessed time in the Lord's house this night. Let us just close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this, thy day. We're thankful, Father, that we can set apart ourselves from the world and to come and to worship our great God. And truly tonight, Father, we can sing joy to the world. We thank you, Father, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you, Father, for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, born in a humble stable many years ago, lived a perfect life of obedience even unto death. We thank you, Father, for the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the great examples he has given to us to live by. O God, may we so order our lives that we would live acceptable lives unto our God. Lord, we thank you for this Christmas season. But Lord, we do not just remember the birth of our Savior at this time, but in every day, the birth, the life, the death, and resurrection. We thank you, Father, tonight our great God is seated on high at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And Father, tonight we pray that the word that has gone forth this morning and this evening would find root in every heart. We pray, Father, that souls would be converted. Lord, we thank you for the news of this past week, hearing four young people in our Christian school coming to Christ. Lord, what a tremendous Christmas present for these young people. The Lord God living in their hearts. Bless them, Father, we pray. Lord, as they have made a profession, Lord, we know the devil will be close at their heels, but Lord, we pray that you would put your hand upon them and protect them as they grow now along the road of life leading to Christ. Oh God, we pray that you would bless all of our families with salvation, that Lord, you would be the silent guest at every table this Christmas season. Lord, we know that there will be empty chairs around some tables this year, ones who have been called on to glory. Lord, we pray that you draw very close to those families. May the Holy Spirit come especially to them and fill that void in that family. Father, we pray that you would be with us as we soon will enter a new year. Oh God, we pray that you would guide and direct through these very difficult and strange times. So Father, again, please accept of our thanks, Lord, for everything you have done for us. Forgive us for our sins, our many faults, and our failures. And Lord, may you be glorified in our lives. May Christ be seen in us for your honor and for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.